disciples that if you don't do any other study every day, you should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. He wasn't talking about japa. That was in another category. Just as a note, he would say, if you can't, better to die. Say, then not chant your 16 rounds. That's part of our life. But he said the most important part of a sadhana, we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And Krishna instructed me that before you recite Srimad Bhagavatam, you should offer these particular prayers, which we did every day. And he also told us that we should glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Krishna Tuyu Bhagavat, Vibhusai Vishroi, Prati Shloki Prati Akshay Nanata Koi. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. And every verse and every syllable is unlimited meanings. Srila Sanatana Goswami, he speaks about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Shastrabdi Piyusa. That Srimad Bhagavatam is the nectar that was churned from the ocean of Vedic scriptures. Sarva Vedaika Satfala. It's the most prominent fruit of all the Vedas. Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya. It's enriched with the jewels of all philosophical conclusions. Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. It gives spiritual vision to all the people of the world. Sarva Bhagavata Prana. Srimad Bhagavatam is the life of the devotees. If we don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam daily, then we may die spiritually. Sarva Bhagavata Prana. Srimad Bhagavata Prabho. Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna. Kali Dantori Tadicha Shri Krishna Parivartita. He is the sun which has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. And he's actually Krishna who's appeared among us. Some years ago, we had some very good fortune that Titikshu Prabhu, he donated some books to our library. A very valuable gift, which we appreciate very much. Amongst those books were a particular edition of the Bhagavatam, the Barampur edition. It's in Bengali script, with the original Mula Shlokas in Bengali script, and commentaries from many different acharyas. I've been wanting to get that particular edition for many years, and I'd found one previously, and they wanted like 50,000 rupees for it. It means, I don't know, over 1,000 euros. Quite a lot of money. It's a very rare edition of the Bhagavatam. So there's a story behind that edition of the Bhagavatam, which I think is appropriate to speak if we want to say something in glories of the Bhagavatam. There was one Vaishnav who was a resident of Dhaka, Bangladesh. And his name was Sri Radharaman Ghosh. And after he graduated from school, he became the private secretary of Maharaj Bir Chandra Bahudar, the ruler of Sripur. And it was this Maharaj Bir Chandra who later printed this Barampur edition of the Bhagavatam with his financial aid. And Radharaman Ghosh was one of the editors for the book. He was one of the prominent persons behind it. So Radharaman Ghosh, when he got a little older, he retired and went to Vrindavan. And he was wandering around in the forest of Vrindavan doing his bhajan. And one day, he came across a sadhu, very strange scene. The sadhu was sitting alone in the middle of the forest, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and crying. And Radharaman was looking, there's nobody hearing. There's only one tree, one tamal tree. And he was reading the Bhagavatam to a tamal tree, alone in the middle of the Vrindavan forest. Sadhu was very far out. So he thought, this is very interesting. So he sat down and listened. And then when he saw that sadhu was finishing his katha for that day, he got up and quietly left. And the next morning he came back to the same place and he found the same sadhu sitting there again reciting the Bhagavatam. And every day he started coming very quietly, sitting behind that sadhu. And that sadhu was there reading, just crying and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And one day, as Radharaman Ghosh came there, he stepped on some branch or something. It made some noise. And the sadhu turned and saw, oh,
come. Sit here. Mm-hmm. You said that I'm the Vakta, the speaker, mm-hmm. and you sit here, you'll be the second Shrota, the second listener. The first listener is Krishna. And Radharaman Ghosh said, yes, of course. We understand. The sadhu was a little far out. So he was coming every day, and that Vakta, that speaker of the Bhagavatam, that sadhu, he was reciting all the way through the Bhagavatam until finally they came to the 12th canto. And they finished. And when he finished reading the Bhagavatam, suddenly an astonishing thing happened. That tamal tree, which was in front of them, suddenly burst open. And Radharaman Ghosh saw a very intense blue effulgence in that tree. And standing in the middle of that tree, with an enchanting smile on his face, and a flute put to his lips, was Sri Krishna. And he looked at Radharaman Ghosh and smiled. And Radharaman, he fell to the ground unconscious. A very good Srimad Bhagavatam class. So, when he revived his external consciousness, he found that he was lying on the ground and his head was on the lap of that sadhu. And that sadhu was rubbing his head very affectionately. And Radharaman Ghosh got up and he started crying. My God, thank you. He fell at the feet of that sadhu. And that sadhu, he said, Radharaman, you've been blessed with the darshan of my Radharaman. And now, every day, you should recite Srimad Bhagavatam. You should recite this Bhagavatam for Krishna's pleasure. And he told them, it's not necessary to call Krishna. When we do some prana pratistha, the deity, we say, Sri Krishna, yahavaha, yahavaha, Sri Krishna, yahatista. We have some mantras and things. He said, but it's not necessary to do any mantras or mujas or ceremony. You just recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna loves the Bhagavatam so much that he'll come running to that place where the Bhagavatam is being recited, and he'll sit in the hearts of the listeners and the reader of the Bhagavatam just like a prisoner. We heard recently from some senior Vaishnava who was living in Vrindavan for many years that even 50 years ago in Vrindavan, things were very different. There were commonly Bhagavat Saptahas, recitations of the Bhagavatam. But those Bhagavat Saptahas were being conducted by two different groups. Sometimes the yatris, the pilgrims who were coming to Vrindavan, they were hearing from some famous person, like our Pundarik Goswami of Radharaman Temple. He's one of the most famous speakers of the Bhagavatam in Vrindavan, very pakka person, raised from his childhood, learning Sanskrit and reading commentaries of the Bhagavatam. And he may speak to some common people. But they had another type of recitation, which was for sadhus. And when the sadhus would listen, they were just listening with rapt attention. And they had a code of etiquette there. If some sadhu would start swaying back and forth or looking this way and that way, it would annoy all the other sadhus there. And they would come and pick him up and throw him out. They had such an etiquette about the Srimad Bhagavatam, and their listening was done with such intensity. So Radharaman, on the order of that sadhu, he began speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And his talks were so masterful and so attractive that so many people came to attend his katas, and the pundits gave him the title Bhagavat Bhushan. And it was his work, along with the king that he was working for, who printed that Barampur edition of the Bhagavatam, very first-class edition. They say there's no mistakes in that edition, and it's all the Vaishnavas want very much to have that edition. It's described, we heard once from Padmalochan Prabhu Prabhupada's disciple, that when Srila Prabhupada came to London in 1971-72, Prabhupada came to Soho Street, and Padmalochan Prabhu and some other devotees worked very hard to make a vyasasana for Srila Prabhupada to sit on. The Prabhupada came, and he sat down on the vyasasana and chanted Jai Radha Madhava and gave class. And then afterwards he went upstairs to his room, And then he called for Padmalochan Prabhu. And Padmalochan came up, yes, Srila Prabhupada. What is it? Prabhupada said, very nice, Vyasa-san. Now I want you to make two more. Small ones. He said, because coming every day also to the Bhagavatam class are Narad Muni and Lord Brahma. I want you to give some Vyasa-sans to them. So we don't know who's coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We may feel a little discouraged because we don't have the opportunity to directly hear from our Gurudev anymore. When we sat and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from our Guru Maharaj, it was a most indescribable thing you can imagine. It was something like you're sitting down and suddenly a door, a window opened to the spiritual world, and the rays of the sun from the spiritual world fell down on you. You felt like you're in a completely different place. We're not so fortunate to hear Bhagavatam now from such a personality, but such persons exist. They're present, and if we're sincere and we cry for that, then Krishna will send it. But we should understand there's also some value to our recitation of the Bhagavatam. We were describing the other day, in the 10th canto, it says, Bahu Murtika Murtikam. Sri Krishna's Advaya Tattva. And although he's Advaya One, he becomes many. Bahu Murtika Murtikam. In his Sartha Darshani commentary in this verse, Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur says, Chinmayinam, Nanatvi Pyakema Bipretam. But just as Krishna is one, Krishna is also none different from his name and from his katha. Abhinatta nama namino. Krishna tuya bhagavata vibhusarva shroya. So just as Krishna is Advaya, one, but he becomes many in the Ras Lila with the Mahishis, the queens of Dwarka. So also Krishna is one in the form of his holy name and in the form of Bhagavat katha. But just as he's one but becomes many, he also becomes many in the form of his name and in the form of the katan. Vishnu says that that same Krishna, when we hear from Sadguru and we repeat what we've heard from him, that's also Krishna. It's an expansion of Krishna. Therefore, we are supposed to simply repeat what we've heard and not think it belongs to us. In this, the Bhagavat Mahatmya of the Skanda Purana, it's described, Srimad Bhagavatam Shastram Yatra Bhagavatara Yada Kirtate Shuyate Chapi Shri Krishna's Chatra Nishchitam. When you recite Srimad Bhagavatam, someone comes running to hear. Krishna personally comes. He's so eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. How much Bhagavatam do we have to recite before he comes? Srimad Bhagavatam Yatra Shlokam Shlokardam Avacha. You simply recite one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Or Shloka Ardham, just half a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna comes to Trapi Bhagavan Krishna, but he doesn't come alone. Baladivir Virajate. He comes along with the gopis. Krishna and the gopis are so very eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So, my humble understanding, this is the legacy of our Guru Maharaj. Of all the gurus in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Varga, they've instructed us that we should daily hear Srimad Bhagavatam. If we don't do any other sadhana, we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that if all the books of the world were lost, were burned, but only Srimad Bhagavatam remained, there would be no loss. Because Srimad Bhagavatam has everything contained within it. So Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given us his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he instructed the devotees that every day they should come together and hear Bhagavatam. Sometimes our lives are very passionate. Krishna Kund and I were doing publishing. That's a very, very passionate service. And sometimes it's very hard, especially if you're traveling. But when we're in Bhubaneswar, we try every day, even if we don't have time to sit down and have a nice discussion, at least read one or two verses. For Giriraj's pleasure, because every day we should have Srimad Bhagavatam. Kuntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam, King of Literatures, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 9. Is that correct? Yeah. It's a very famous verse, very nice verse. We don't have, Prabhuji has a book, but nobody else. I'll recite by myself. Text number 9.
Chapter
18. Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 9. 18, 39. Svastyastu vishvashikalapasidatam jayantu bhutani shivam mitodhya manascha bhadram bhajatadadhokshaje avishyatam no mati apyahoituki. Please repeat. Swasti, auspiciousness.
Auspiciousness. 19.
Chapter 18, 19. Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 9. Astu, let there be.
Let there be.
Visvasya,
Visvasya.
Of the entire universe.
Of the entire universe.
Kalaha,
Kalaha.
The envious.
The envious.
Almost everyone.
Almost everyone.
Parenthetic comment. Prasidatam.
Prasidatam.
Let them be pacified.
Let them be pacified.
Jayantu.
Jayantu.
Let them consider.
Let them consider.
Bhutani.
Bhutani.
All the living entities.
All the living entities.
Shivam.
Auspiciousness.
Mitaha.
Mutual.
Dia.
Dia.
By their intelligence.
By their intelligence.
Manaha.
Manaha.
The mind.
The mind.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Bhadram.
Bhadram.
Calmness.
Calmness.
Bhajatat.
Bhajatat.
Let it experience.
Adhokshaje,
in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's beyond the perception of mind,
intelligence, and senses.
Avishyatam,
let
it be absorbed.
Naha,
our.
Our
Matihi, intelligence,
Papi,
indeed,
Ohoituki,
without any motive. Translation: may there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing Bhakti Yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Please repeat. May there be good fortune.
May there be good fortune
throughout the universe.
Throughout the universe.
And may all envious persons
be pacified.
May all living entities
become calm
by practicing Bhakti Yoga.
By practicing Bhakti Yoga.
For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence,
Lord Sri
Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vamcha kopaturubhyascha kripa sindhu vyeva cha patita nam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namo. It's no translation. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnav. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnav who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama nimatsanam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala prasidatam. May all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons. But if one frees himself from envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manascha bhadram bhajatadid hoksajay. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nisringadev to sit in our hearts. This particular verse in the previous verse in the Bhagavatam, the prayers to Lord Nisringadev, offered by Prahlad Maharaj, in the section, the residents of Jambudweep offer prayers. Prabhupada says, therefore we should pray to Lord Nisringadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nisringo, Hridaye Nisringo. Let Lord Nisringadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from Him. Even pure nishkam devotees pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame param budo Kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichindaya. Quote, O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I've fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. End of quote. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama Janmani, Janmanishvare, Bhavatad Bhaktir, Ahoitaki Tvayi. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed devotion and love at your Lordship's lotus feet. End of quote. When Prahlad Maharaj chants, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, he prays for a benediction for the Lord, from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnav, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Swastyastu Visvasya. Quote, let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. End of quote. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is the man like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu is envious of his little son Prahlad. But Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kula prasidatam. The difficulty is that the kula envious living entity is rarely pacified. One kind of kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb. Mantra shadi vasaha sarpa kala kina niryatma nivaryate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all the envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivam Mito Diya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others. But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, Bhajatad Adhoksajay. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo, and is advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 1865. Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakta. One should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Thus one's mind will certainly become cleansed, Chaito Dharpana Marjana. Materialists always think of sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna and they will stop thinking of sense gratification, Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. Big problem. However, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. Maybe everyone could go around and you could recite the Sanskrit shloka for this, and I'll be back. Okay. Do you have something they can do with that?
Svastastu visvasya kala pratidatam yayantu bhutane shivam mitodiya manastra bhadam Bajatad adokshaje avasyatam no matir apya haitu ki.
Svastastu vishvasya khala prasidatam dhyayam tu bhutani shivam mitho diya manastra bhadram bajatad adokshaje avasyatam no matir apya haitu ki.
Svastyastu vishvasya kala prasidatam dhyayam tu bhutani shivam mitho diya manascha bhadram bhajatad adokshaje avasyatam no matir api ahai sukhi.
Svastyastu vishvasya kala prasidatam dhyayam tu bhutani shivam mitho diya
Anyone else want to recite? Gurave Gura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Such a beautiful purport. Text. This is a real solution for the world today. We simply need to become absorbed in Krishna. And if we become absorbed in Krishna, then we become non-envious. Last year when we were in New Mayapur, a thought came to my mind, a question, which was kind of an exercise. We asked different devotees this question. This is an exercise to see how non-envious we are. The question was, what if all of France became Krishna conscious? Wouldn't it be very nice? The whole country became Krishna conscious. But now what if, I'm not saying it's anything political, but what if it wasn't ISKCON that did it? What if it was, God forbid, the Gaudiya Math? Or some even worse, the Babaji's? Or some other person? How would we feel? We should look in our heart. Those persons who are non-envious, they'll be so happy, so ecstatic to see everyone become Krishna conscious. But someone who's sectarian and has some envy in their heart, oh, but it's not good enough. It wasn't us that did it. Because they're seeing in a sectarian way. We have to give up sectarian consciousness. It's very important for Vaishnavas who are aspiring for Prem Bhakti. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he speaks about this in his Chaitanya Sikshamrita. This is a very deep thing. He says to be controlled by prejudice causes many problems. From prejudice arises partiality. Prejudice comes partiality. Partiality meaning I'll see, oh, this is my friend. He's my godbrother. I like him. But this one over here, not good. He's initiated by some other person, some other line. I can't be his friend. There's some partiality, some sectarianism. And this Krishna consciousness movement won't spread then. He says, from partiality comes disrespect for truth. Because truth is that we should respect everyone, regardless of what kind of body they have, regardless of what institution they belong to, regardless of what particular family they belong to. Sometimes, we were mentioning this the other day, I think, some Vaishnavas, I'm an ISKCON Wala. Please forgive me for that. I hope it doesn't offend anyone. But I'm an ISKCON devotee. That's my Guru Maharaj's Seva Sangha, and Prabhupada's Seva Sangha. But sometimes devotees, they become angry about that. And they say, oh, you ISKCON, ISKCON. And I tell them, look, Baba, you're a Vaishnava. Don't you know, dehino smin yata dehe komaram yoganam jura? We're not our bodies, Baba. I'm not, God forbid you may also get offended with me for this, but I was born in America. Please forgive me for that. I didn't vote for George Bush, so. Not so bad. And we left that place. Had two strikes against me. But we tell people, you shouldn't treat me as an American. You shouldn't treat me as a male. And please don't treat me as an institution. That's even more strange. I have a relationship with my Gurudev. And that's why I serve in a particular Sangha. But our service to that Sangha is to hear and speak Krishna Katha and chant Hare Krishna. That's the service. And that is something for everyone. And if we do that, then everyone in the world becomes pacified. But if we have this partiality, then Bhaktivinoda says, comes disrespect for truth. And we start telling people, no, you're not allowed. Prabhashini Shade. Our temple, we have God in this temple, but he's the ISKCON God. And he's the Gaudiya Math God. And he's not your God. He's our God. And you're not allowed to come. Hare Baba. I thought God was for everyone. So this is disrespect for truth. And it's not pleasing to Krishna. It's not pleasing to the heart. Because bhakti should be ahoitiki, apratiyata, with no motivation, and uninterrupted. Not that I like you because you're initiated by my guru, and I don't like this other person because he doesn't give enough respect to my guru. So I spit in your face. I'm our guru, Jagat Guru. My guru is very great, and your guru, well anyway, better luck next time. That's not Vaishnavism. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, wearing the signs of a Vaishnava is one of the methods of cultivating devotion. We accept that. It's beneficial. It's bhakti anukul. it's fabled for bhakti. He says, which involves the body. But to think that those signs are the distinguishing characteristic of a Vaishnava is a prejudice arising from sectarianism. Well, only someone who's wearing tilak, and only our kind of tilak, that goes a little bit wider and has a red line in the center, don't talk to them. And especially if they have some Radhakund tilak, that means they're a sahaja. Don't look at their face. Hare Krishna. We should respect everyone, and especially all Vaishnavas. This is our dharma. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he describes this in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Ehi Vaishnava Dharma Sakale Pranati Ehi Jaitama Bhakti Jati Sehi Lati Hare Krishna Hare Dharma. This is Vaishnava Dharma. What does the word Dharma mean? Dharma means religion. This is the religion of a Vaishnava. But Dharma also comes from Dhru Dhatu, the Bij Dhatu Dhru, which means to hold up the universe. It means the essence of something. It means the intrinsic nature. The intrinsic nature, the quality of a Vaishnava. Ese Vaishnava Dharma. Sabare pranati. To offer respects to everyone, even Gaudiya Math devotees, even Babaji's, even Goswamis, even Christians, even politicians, even Americans. We should offer respect to everyone because we see the Christians in their heart and we don't identify them in these external sectarian ways. He said, but there's another fellow, Sei Dharmadvaji, the Dharmadvaji. He looks the same. He has nice tilak, nice kunti mala, japa mala. But he's not actually a Vaishnava because he doesn't have this Vaishnava dharma. And he says, Ja iti nahi rati. He has no attachment for this thing. He's a kanishta. He has no taste for worshipping the Lord. It's described in the 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. Archayam eva hareye pujamya shudayayate natad bhaktesu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smita. This is a prakrita bhakta, a materialistic bhakta. He's a devotee. He's worshipping the Lord something. But he worships the Lord. Archayam eva hareye. Very nice. He's worshipping the Lord. Or he may be worshipping another form of the Lord, Acharya Mam Vijanayan. I have my form of the Lord, and he's doing artik to that form of the Lord. Very nice. He does very nice puja in the mandir, in the temple. But Natad Bhaktesu Chanyeshu. He has no respect for the devotees. And Chanyeshu to other personalities. Sabhakta prakrita smita. He's a materialistic devotee. We don't want such personalities. We have to rise beyond sectarianism. And Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he goes on to say, to think that these symbols of Vaishnavism are the distinguishing characteristics of a Vaishnava is a prejudice arising from sectarianism. We should love everyone. I can tell you honestly, some of the most saintly, wonderful people I've met were not in our society. They were not even Vaishnavas. I've met some very wonderful people who are Muslims and were Christians, and I loved their association. They were so saintly and so wonderful. I'm not going to take up their process, and I'm not going to give them the same respect that I give to someone who's following Vaishnava Dharma of chanting and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, because we're giving respect to the process. But some of those people who are wearing the tilak and chanting, they're prakrita bhaktas. They're materialistic devotees. So we should see by someone's qualities. Yashaham managrinam, no, Krishna, what is it? Yashayal lakshanam proktam, pumsavana avivanjikam. Krishna states in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, We should judge someone by the qualities that they have, not by some external thing. Who am I and who is my guru? Just because I got initiated, does that mean I got Kaivalya Mukti? And now I am ISKCON, I am my guru, I merged with him. That's a very strange thing. I may be a Badmash number one rascal, but I have some initiation, I'm trying this thing. And I want to serve and associate with my Gurudev. Because to make advancement, we have to be nishta to our guru. So all sadhus say this, and all sanghas. I've seen this at Radhakrona, in the sanghas there. I've seen this in Barshana, amongst the Babaji's there. I've seen this in Jagannath Puri. I've seen this in Navadvipa, amongst the Goswamis. I've seen this in different Gaudiya Mutt temples. I've seen this amongst different gurus in ISKCON. Everyone tells their disciples, be faithful to your guru. Stay in your sangha, because that's healthy. That's good for our bhakti. But at the same time, we have to become mature enough that we respect other people. You go to someone and you ask them, what is the best football team? If I ask them in Paris, they have a football team there, I think?
Yeah.
What is it called?
PSG.
So you ask them, what is the best team? They'll say, PSG. And you say, why? Because they're from Paris. We're also from Paris. So that's the nature of materialistic people who are envious. They like their family. They like their sangha. And they can't tolerate other sanghas. And even as Vaishnavas or aspiring Vaishnavas, sometimes we can't tolerate other people who are becoming Krishna conscious. We can't tolerate to think that someone else might be able to preach and establish Krishna consciousness. We can't tolerate it if it's not coming from our Gurudev and our line. We don't see that it's not our line. This is Mahaprabhu's line. And he's going to empower so many different people in so many different ways. And we should become free from envy. And wherever we see that, we should become so happy, very happy, if someone has some Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda says, that controlled by such false beliefs of sectarianism and prejudice, a person may not respect a real Vaishnav who's not wearing those marks. Wearing pants? Where's your teeth? Not a Vaishnav. We can't respect him. He'll think like that. He says, Bhaktivinoda says, but if a devotee has such prejudice, then he won't be able to find good association, and he can't find good association within his own organization. He won't venture to find good association elsewhere. Rupa Goswami says, Swajati Asya Snigda Sadhu Sangha Satovare. First thing he says, Swajatiya. We should associate with Vaishnavas who are in our family. Bhaktivinoda is saying something that seems a little different here. We can understand this in different ways according to the instructions of our Gurujana. Our revered spiritual master, he said, you stay within this particular sangha, this institution. So in that context, I would see Bhaktivinoda's comment here that if we have prejudice that within the particular family we're in, we don't respect anyone else except in our Guru Varga, from our Gurudev, then you can't get good association. Because you won't see anyone else as being proper. And in a broader way, people, they can't appreciate. Sometimes for some purpose of preaching to new devotees, we tell them, don't go here, don't go there, don't listen to any other persons. And that's necessary. When your daughter was 4 years old, maybe she wanted to go out and play in the street. And you told her, no, you stay inside the fence. And she says, why? What are you going to tell her? That maybe someone may kidnap you, or someone will give you some candy and take you away, or a car might run you over. You just tell them, because everyone outside the fence is bad. Okay. So then the four-year-old child is standing inside the fence, and some person walks by, and the little four-year-old shakes his finger and says, you're bad. And everyone laughs. It's very cute. It's actually sweet. You know, the people, they understand, okay, I'm bad. Everyone's bad outside your fence. But then as that child grows up and is a 30-year-old man and he's still staying inside the fence and shaking his finger outside here, that's sick. That's very strange. we should become mature. And maturity means that we should become very nisya to our Gurudev. My Guru Maharaji said, I'll not leave ISKCON. The only way I'll leave is if they cut off my head. But he wasn't saying that out of some institutional consciousness. He was saying it out of nisya to his Gurudev, Prabhupada. We were saying the other day in New Mayapur that there was once one senior Vaishnav who was preaching to me, you should leave ISKCON, it's all very bad, this and this. And he's a very powerful person. I said, well, Maharaj, he said, why are you staying? I said, Maharaj, that service, which is the most needed, is the most appreciated. He may see some problems, but the service which is the most needed is the most appreciated. So I see a very good opportunity. There may be some problems in different parts of the society. It's a very big society. And our Vaishnava Sangha is becoming so broad, and divisions are becoming blurred, and so many different people are coming together by Krishna Katha, by Krishna Nama. This is the thing which can unite the whole world. And that was Srila Prabhupada's desire. And even if someone else makes France Krishna conscious, we should become delighted and happy to see that. Because we see it's happening by the mercy and the strength of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktivinoda says that if we don't, because we have this prejudice, and we can't find good association in our own Sangha, then we won't venture to find good association elsewhere. We've seen this. We've seen this in our own family. They won't go anywhere else. They're all bogus. They'll say like that. Since nothing can be accomplished without good association, such a devotee falls into a dangerous position. Now, some of them may say, I have God brothers who say, I won't hear Bhagavatam from anyone else except for Guru Maharaj. I am very exalted. And so they don't hear Bhagavatam. But you go to their house and they're reading the newspaper, they're watching television, they're hearing from some other persons, they're hearing some Gramya Katha. We should be non-envious. Namacharanam satam vedyam. This Srimad Bhagavatam and this Bhagavat culture is based on the principle of giving up envy. And our Guru Maharaj spoke very strongly about this, that we should have a society free from envy. If you want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, paramanamacharanam satam vedyam, if you want to understand it, you have to become free from envy. And this Vaishnav Sangha, it's not, we shouldn't have sectarianism. We shouldn't think, oh, so many people came to hear me today. Very good. Hey, Baba, that's envy. They didn't come to hear you. That's nonsense. People came to hear Krishna Katha. And we should respect the sanctity of Krishna Katha and the Srimad Bhagavatam and not be envious and start thinking, oh, they belong to me. This is the nature of an envious person. A person who's not envious, he's just carrying a palanquin, we've often said. The preachers in our line, they're not sitting on top of the palanquin. The deity's on top of the palanquin. And we're just humble carriers of Krishna Katha and Krishna Nam. And it doesn't belong to us. And if we have that mood, then a very wonderful thing happens. Everyone becomes non-envious, and they become peaceful. And all the sectarianism and all the quarrels and things go away with Krishna Katha. This is a solution. It's a very, very sad thing in our Vaishnava world today. You go on the internet and you see many people advocating another solution. What is a solution they're advocating? They're advocating criticism, expose. We'll expose all the bastards. Drive them out, and we'll show all the bad things that they're doing. Now, you may protest, or they may protest. We're not advocating it as a solution, but you are. Because you're pushing this thing, then naturally people are going to think, oh, this is a solution. We've had problems. The problem is we've had some bogus people who are not qualified, who are cheating. So the solution is we'll expose all of them, and that'll solve the problem. But it won't solve the problem. Because the first problem is you can't see who's qualified and who's not. Putana is the false guru. She's sent by Kamsa, who represents the head of mundane religion. And her mission is to kill all the babies in spiritual life by offering them her breast, which she's put poison on. to kill them, to kill their sincere inquiry about spiritual life. She's a terrible demoness, and she's posing as guru. Putana came to Braj, but no one could recognize her. Even Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they thought, oh, she must be an incarnation of Lakshmi or some devotee of the city. And they let her go inside the house. They let her offer her breast to Krishna. And all of Braj, no one could recognize Putana, only one person. And he was a little baby. Unless we take shelter of that baby. A baby doesn't seem very significant. No one's giving big respect to Shyam. He's a mamachari, he's not a brahmachari, he's not a big person. We don't think very seriously about babies. We don't think very seriously about Krishna Katha, the power of it. We don't think very seriously about the power of Krishna's name. We place more stress on properties, and on management, and on institutions. And listen to me, Prabhu. Correcting other people. We think that's where the real strength lies. We're Bahir Mukh Janas, external people. And we're not actually part of this movement. We're part of some other movement. If we advocate through our behavior the idea of self-appointed reform, no one even appointed you. Your guru didn't tell you to do this. You just took it on yourself. Yes, I'm going to save the world. And you go running out like Don Quixote. And you're going to do battle with some windmill. There's a very beautiful quote by the Western philosopher, Aldous Huxley. I'd like to read you. It's a little high-tech English. I'll maybe give some other explanations to go along. He said, the effects. What happens? The effects which follow the constant and intense concentration upon evil are always disastrous. Those who crusade not for God and themselves, but against the demons and others, never succeed in making the world better. No man can concentrate his attention on evil or even the idea of evil and remain unaffected. To be more against the demon than for godliness is exceedingly dangerous. Every crusader is apt to go mad. He's haunted by the wickedness which he attributes to his enemies. And that wickedness becomes sort of a part of him. I remember we made an article we called Critics Take the Karma. Some years ago in our Krishna Katami to Bindu magazine. And someone, without saying anything to us, sent that article to one website which is very fond of self-appointed reform, chastising all the demons, and everybody's bogus except for us. That seems to be their mood. They sent that article in, and they became a little annoyed with the article. And they said, what is this Aldous Huxley? We don't accept Aldous Huxley. And there were some different quotes from Mahabharata, Udyoga Parva. Vidura tells Dhritarashtra, Krosha Parivada, Bhyam, Vihimsata Buddha Budhan, Vakta Papamapada Te, Kshamamano Vimuchate. An ignorant person, this is the nature of an ignorant person, he tries to hurt other people by malice, by being mean to them, and by criticism. But by doing that, the critic takes upon himself the load, the burden of the wise person's sins. And that wise person gives them up by forgiving the ignorant person. This is Vaishnavism. This is our line. This is Trinadati Sanichena. We have to adopt this mode. We have to respect everyone and become free from envy. This Krishna consciousness does not belong to us. It belongs to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He's a personification of Krishna consciousness. And he's ordered all of his devotees, everyone, to go out and spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. We may organize that. French people, they like to organize things. I think that's very good. Organized preaching is very good. But don't let that organization kill the baby. Don't let it overcome it. If we become more absorbed in the organization and the form of things, and we neglect the essence, then what's the use? You have a very nice box, very beautiful box, and you shine it every day, but your box is empty. And what is the value? We don't care what the box looks like. If it's blue, if it's green, and it has shiny paper on it, or dull paper, or cloth wrapped around it, it may come in so many different boxes. But the essential item inside that box should be Nam Bhajan and Krishna Katha. And we have to give this to everyone. The world is dying today. And we see our Vaishnava community, the world is dying in our Vaishnava community, the devotees are simply fighting amongst themselves. It's a very, very terrible thing. There's an emergency going on. We have to give up envy. We have to give up pride and encourage everyone to be Krishna conscious. And not just Vaishnavas. But if we see some Catholic priest or some other person who has some good principles that maybe they can't take to Krishna consciousness, encourage them. This happened a few years ago in Dnepropetrovsk, in Ukraine. Sometimes Krishna Kund and I go there and give some classes and things. And the devotees there were distributing books. And one day, they saw some priest. And the priest was standing nearby watching the Harinam. But he didn't look so envious. He looked a little curious. So one of the devotees went over and said, "Here, take a book." The priest took the book and he went home and started reading it. Wow, this is really amazing. And he came to the temple. He brought one of his priest friends with him. And they started reading Prabhupada's books and chanting Hare Krishna. And they loved it. But he had a social position. He was a priest in an Orthodox Christian church. Very difficult. Orthodox Christian, not just a Catholic church, but Orthodox Christian church. And so he continued his priestly activities. He was wearing his robes and doing his council or whatever they do, I don't know their ceremonies and things. And he would come to the temple wearing his robes, and like it because he's a Catholic priest. And then one day, 2 years ago, he had some pain in his body. He went to the doctor, they did some tests. And the doctor came back and he said, "I have some bad news for you. You have cancer, and you only have a few weeks left to live. You're going to die." So that priest came to the temple and he asked the devotees, he told them, "I only have a few weeks to live, can I stay here with you?" Mm-hmm. And he stayed there. They gave him a room, and the devotees were doing kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna around him when he left his body. Mm-hmm. This is our Krishna consciousness movement. We have to become free from envy. The symptom of envy is sectarianism. And our movement should be free from that. Srila Prabhupada, he addressed this many times. We've been reading some statements from this last few days, so if we repeated this, don't mind, but I feel it's very important. Prabhupada said, "We're asking people without any argument or political or social purpose. All that we're asking is you chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Wherever we are opening our branches, our only businesses are requesting people to chant Hare Krishna or Radha Krishna. We don't want anything. We don't want to do any business. We're simply spreading this Hare Krishna mantra because people are being washed away." That was from a lecture in Hong Kong in 1972. In Hyderabad in 1974, Srila Prabhupada said, "Practice bhakti yoga and be Krishna conscious. Make your life successful. That's our mission. We're teaching this. It's not a business that give me some money and I'll teach you. It's open. We're asking everyone, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. What's the difficulty? There's no loss. You don't have to pay anything." Another lecture in Delhi in 1973, Prabhupada said, "Our only business is to make people happy. That's our only business. We have no other desire. We don't say that you give us some money in exchange of your Krishna consciousness. No, that's not our business. We're not merchants. We're spreading this Krishna consciousness movement free of charge. We're engaged servants of Krishna. Krishna will provide for us. Krishna will provide for us. We don't need your damn money. We're independent from that. We're only dependent on Krishna, and he'll take care of us. Prabhupada wrote in a letter in 1968, ISKCON, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, is a non-lucrative organization, means non-profit. We're not interested in making money, whose purpose is to promote the well-being of human society by drawing its attention to God. We are a non-sectarian society, and our members include people from Christian, Jewish, and Muslim, as well as Hindu faiths. How is it we say you can't be a Gaudiya Mutt devotee and be an ISKCON? You can be a Muslim. You can be a Christian or a Jew and be an ISKCON, but you can't be a Gaudiya Mutt. You can't be a Babaji. What is that? What movement is that? It's a different movement than what I belong to. I want to belong to this movement where everyone can take part. Everyone comes together and chants Hare Krishna. And there may be some other movements where we have the ISKCON God and you're only allowed to come and see that. Okay, you have your ISKCON God. I'm not interested in seeing that thing. I'm not interested in the Gaudiya Mutt God or the ISKCON God or the Babaji God or this or that. We want Krishna who's for everyone. And this will unite everyone. This will drive out envy. This will make the world peaceful. But we have to have this attitude toward it. If we start developing some sectarianism due to envy, how will Mahaprabhu's movement go on? Prabhupada says, the aim of ISKCON is not to found a new religious sect. Mark it. Prabhupada said, the aim of ISKCON is not to found a new religious sect. Rather, it's to invoke the living entity's dormant love of God and thus provide the human society of all faiths with a common platform of clear theistic knowledge and practice. Last year, Krishna Kuni and I, we went to Uzbekistan. And in Uzbekistan, it's against the law to walk in a Gaudiya Kurta in town. They'll arrest you and put you in jail. It's against the law to chant Hare Krishna. Outside, they have one place that's a legal place. They have one legal temple. You can chant Hare Krishna there, but you're not allowed to do it anywhere else. Such a heavy place. The devotees there were so wonderful. When we came, they were crying. They were waiting for us at the airport, and they were crying that we would come, because nobody goes there. It's a very difficult place to go to, and there's not big money. So many preachers don't like to go there. So we were going there, and they were crying. And then when we were giving the classes, they were also crying because they don't get to hear Krishna Katha and things. And then when we were leaving, they were also crying to see us go. We liked them very, very much. They were wonderful. And so many of them were coming, and they were Muslims. And they were wearing their tagia, their Muslim hat. They can't give up their Muslim faith. If they try to give up, they'll kill them. In Iran, if you give up your Muslim faith, they'll kill you. It's okay to give up your Christian faith or your Hindu faith. In fact, in some countries, like in Malaysia, we used to go there, they would pay you money. If you stop being a Christian or a Hindu and you become a Muslim, they would give you money and a home. I think they changed the law now. But on the other hand, if you preach to a Muslim, that's against the law. Very dangerous thing. And in Iran, they have a law. If you leave Islam and take up some other religion, the penalty is death. They'll kill you for that. They can't change their religion. Srila Prabhupada wrote one letter, I don't have here with me, a very nice letter. He said that, yes, you continue to go to the mosque and you do your prayers every day and you also chant Hare Krishna. No problem. Prabhupada didn't preach to people to give up those things. He preached something positive. You add this. Prabhupada said, members of ISKCON may retain their own respective religious faiths, as ISKCON is meant to establish a clear, practical, common formulation of the common ideal of all theists, and to defeat the unnecessary, dogmatic wranglings, quarrels, I guess you say, that now divide and invalidate the theistic camp. This common ideal of theism is a developed love of God. Prabhupada, in Nectar of Instruction, he says, this Krishna consciousness movement is a transcendental science and there's no room for jealousy. This movement is meant for the Paramahamsas who are completely free from all jealousy. So this is such an important thing. Our Guru Maharaj, she used to ask, we've been repeating this the last few days, excuse me, but what is ISKCON? ISKCON is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. No big, difficult thing. Who is really a member? And he would say, someone who's Krishna conscious. And one time he said that, and he pointed at me. And he said, Madhavananda, not joined. So everybody in ISKCON, they always like to ask a big question, when did you join Prabhu? People ask me, I say, well, I'd like to, but I haven't yet. I have to become Krishna conscious, and that's the real movement. There may be so many different Indras who come and go, controllers and managers, and we offer respects to them and cooperate with them because we want to be non-envious. And different people have different visions of how this movement's going to go on. And we have no problem. Some people see a managerial conception as the main thing. Okay, that's your God. That's your vision of Krishna. Very good. You're also helping to push on this movement. We should be so happy, however they're pushing it on. But the world needs this today. We have to give up pride and give up sectarianism. Our revered spiritual master, he said, we've come and joined this society of Krishna consciousness, Mahaprabhu's movement. We've accepted Guru and have been chanting the holy name. We may be reciting Shikshastika daily and chanting, but still we have pride. Pride comes in various forms. Don't you know who I am? I am a senior devotee. I've spent so many years in this society. Don't you know that? This is Sevak Dumba, pride in one's service position. Although we recite Tanadapi Sunichena, although we've heard many times about the danger of pride, still this Dumba, Dumba means pride, is coming to us. Still we cannot give it up. Don't you know? Huh? Don't you know who I am? I've done this and this. I've opened so many temples. I am a Prabhupada disciple. I am a temple president. I am a manager. I am GBC, great guru, Acharya. I was there in Los Angeles in 1994 and he was shouting like this. Mm-hmm. Don't you know who I am? I am a Prabhupada disciple, temple president, GBC, sannyasi, guru, demon. He said like that. We also have demons in our society. We also have demons inside of us. And we have to give up those demons. This is the way to change the world. To hear and chant about Krishna. To recite Srimad Bhagavatam every day. This is our life. Not just making gardens and fixing buildings. We have to hear about Krishna every day. Otherwise, what's the use? So many people can make buildings and repair them and plant gardens. But we should chant Krishna's names very seriously. We should recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Namat Sranam Sukham Vedyam. The Srimad Bhagavatam Tad Bhagavisar Go Janataga Viplavo. It'll create a revolution. We don't need the self-appointed reformers. Thank you very much. All glories to your jihad. We wish you all the best. But I have something else to do. I'm sorry. I'm going to chant Hare Krishna. I'm going to follow the instructions of my Gurudev and recite Srimad Bhagavatam because he told us this is the only solution. If we run around trying to do jihad in our Vaishnava society, then indirectly we're giving another message. The message that we're giving is that chanting Hare Krishna is okay. That's nice. But the real thing is expose. Exposing all the rascals and driving them out. The real thing is our jihad. That's the real solution to the problems. Very good. Why don't you go to Afghanistan and you can join the Taliban. You'll get along with them very, very well. In our movement, we have a different revolution. But this is a revolution of the heart. And for us to take part in this revolution, we have to have strong faith in the chanting of the holy names and faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this will solve all the problems. And if we have that faith, then we can tolerate so much. It's described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Kena chit bhikshuna gitam paributtena durjanai smarata vityuktena vipakam nijakarmanam. Once there was a certain sannyasi who was insulted in many ways by impious men. However, with determination, he remembered that he was suffering a fruit of his own previous karma, and he tolerated it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives a very brilliant commentary on this. Please listen to this. He says, often those who give up the materialistic path and devote themselves to renunciation are attacked by impious persons. It often happens. Sometimes some of those impious persons may be wearing dhotis and kurtas even. Or saris. It's a very painful thing. We saw with our Guru Maharaj. Often this happens when you give up the materialistic path and you're really taking to something genuinely Krishna conscious. The Kamsas of this world, they don't like that. They say, anyway, don't worry about all this Siddhanta and don't bother with this 24-hour kirtan and chanting. The main thing is, you should listen to me. I'm your authority, and you should cooperate with the authorities here. That's the main thing. They have another kind of movement. And they're envious, and they're trying to say that being a member is everything, especially you give money, and you follow the directions of the authorities. This is the attitude of Kamsa, the head of mundane religion. And he tries to kill the sincere spiritual aspirations of the living entities by sending Putana, the false guru. So Bhaktisiddhanta says, they're attacked by impious persons. He says, however, this analysis is superficial. Since the punishment or the chastisement we're getting from these materialistic impious persons, since that punishment is actually the cumulative result of one past karma. What can I say? I deserved it. I can't complain. Am I faultless? Am I free from fault? Can I say that I didn't deserve the bad thing that this materialistic person did to me? I can't say that. I deserved it. Bhaktisiddhanta goes on. Some renunciates show a lack of tolerance when presented with the remnants of their previous sins, and thus they are forced to enter again onto the path of impious life. If we can't tolerate when people come to us, if we can't tolerate the fruit of our own past misdeeds, our own karma, tattenu kampam susamikshamano punjana evatna kritam vipakam prig bhagvapu vir vidadam namaste chiveta Yo Mukti Pade Sadayabhak. Spiritual life begins with this verse, the Bhagavatam. When I become mature enough to accept, it's my fault. And I stop blaming the French government, the US government, the CIA, and the GBC, and the this and the that. And I accept it's my fault. I had some karma. And Krishna's just giving it to me through this medium. If I can tolerate that, then I'll advance in my bhajan. If you can't tolerate that, you might be able to advance in the institution in terms of management. You might become the Raj, the king, but you're not going to advance in your bhajan. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, you'll be forced, you'll fall down. You'll be forced to enter again into the path of impious life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore instructs that one should become as tolerant as a tree. If a neophyte on the path of bhakti, the devotional service of the Lord's pure devotees, is attacked by envious persons, he must accept it as a consequence of his previous fruitive activities. One should be intelligent and avoid future unhappiness by rejecting the ethic of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If one refuses to enter into enmity, if one refuses to fight and respond with envious people, they'll automatically leave him alone. Our fucking Mahaprabhu, he once told me, he said, there's a secret that Mahaprabhu has given us for non-bhajan. He said, the secret is, don't demand any respect. Give them all respect. and then they'll leave you alone. And you can do your bhajan. They won't bother you. Yes, yes. Oh, management's very important. You should do this. Very important. Please excuse me. I'm just chanting. Don't mind me. I'm not very significant. Aryabhir's spiritual master, he once told Jagadatma Prabhu, he said, there's two secrets to bhajan. One is that every day you should offer prayers to Lord Nityananda. He's so kind. Every day we should pray to Nittai. And the second secret, he said, is pray for others. Pray for other people. And by doing that, we can give up our envy. And by being forgiving, we can develop bhakti. We have to become serious. What do we really want? I remember one person, one senior devotee, came to me once. She said, Madhavananda, you have to think about your career in ISKCON. I said, oh my God. I'm not a corporate executive. The career that I want Krishna Katha. I want Harinam. I want Krishna Prem. That's the career that I want. And some other people have this other thing, and that's very good. That's their movement. But we want this movement. Svasyasya visvasya kala prasiditam. As Prahlad Maharaj is praying in this verse today, let there be good fortune throughout the universe. Let all envious persons become pacified by taking up bhakti, by chanting Krishna's name. This surpasses all different boundaries, all different types of sectarianism. This is the only solution for the world. It's the only solution for us. If we really want Krishna praying, we have to develop this attitude. Be very broad-minded with everyone. And at the same time, we can be nishtha and fixed in our own Guru Varga, to our Gurudev. We should be. But we should also be very loving and accepting of everyone. What was the name of that Prabhupada disciple in Italy last year he was speaking to? Chai Prabhu, such a nice devotee. He's been distributing books for many, many years. Do you know him? Very, very sweet devotee. He told us that he was once distributing books in some small village in Italy. And the local people started telling him about one Catholic priest who was living there in the village. And this Catholic priest was a famous person. He'd written a number of books. But he was chastised by the Catholic Church because he was too broad-minded. He was saying that we should accept other branches of Christianity and be respectful, and we should accept Buddhists and other different persons. And because of the politics, they couldn't exactly kick him out. He didn't do anything that bad. But what they did instead, they sent him to some remote village, some small place, and you be the pastor or whatever, the priest in that small village. So I went there. So Chai Prabhu, when he heard about that, he took some books and he went to that house, the house of that priest, knocked on the door, and the priest came and he said, I wanted to give you these. And that priest looked down at the books and he looked at Chai Prabhu with his tilak and dhoti and things, and he said, I can't take these. My church won't allow me to take these books and won't allow me to read them. But I'm going to do so anyway. And he took those books and he told Chai Prabhu, he said, there are so many demoniac people in the world today. There are so many atheists. There are so many people doing horrible things. He said, I know my church doesn't agree with me being broad-minded and accepting other religious people, but there are so many demons in the world today. We have very few religious people. I feel that we should be friends with each other. And we should try to push on together. Such a nice thing. And he's a Catholic. And what to speak within Gaudiya Vaishnavism. We read something some years ago by F.S. Grouse. F.S. Grouse was some British person. He was like the mayor or governor or something, I forget, of Mathura in the Vrindavan area. He was a very broad-minded person. He was a Christian. He built the first Christian church in Mathura, which is still there today. But he also learned Sanskrit in Braj Bhas. And he was reading the works of the Goswamis and studying, you know, and he helped preserve. He's the one, previously the temple of Govindaji had been taken over by the Muslims. And it would become a mosque. And he was the one who kicked the Muslims out and restored it to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So F.S. Grouse did a very good thing. But he made some comment, which we printed in one of our magazines, and I don't remember where it's at in my notebooks just right offhand, but I can paraphrase him a little bit. He said that it's seen in the history of the world that there are always revolutionaries or people who come and they speak about God, they speak about spiritual life, and they shake up everything, like Christ did. Mm-hmm. He went into the temple and drove out the money changers and people who were doing business in that. He said, but then after that empowered person leaves, all of his followers, they again do the same thing. And they make their founder into another deity, and again they become sectarian. And he said that I've seen, according to the Vaishnavas here, they all say that they love the same God, but the only thing that they agree upon is the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna, and they're all fighting amongst themselves. This is in the 1800s that he said that. So this is going on even at that time, the sectarianism. It's not a big surprise, and we shouldn't become disturbed by it. And I would encourage devotees, don't do a jihad, a self-appointed reform, and try to change that. Rather, we should do an internal jihad. Chant the holy names. Spread Krishna Katha. Don't be envious. Encourage everyone to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and chant Krishna's names. And if we do that, there'll be good fortune throughout the universe. And all envious persons, beginning with myself even, will become pacified and peaceful. Well, we can stop there. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai, Gopremanandi Om Shakrapada Nubishchan Sindhu Bheva Chan Patita Namapavani Vaishnava. I was afraid to look at the clock while we were speaking. I see why now. Because then I knew I would have to stop earlier. Please forgive me. Is so many nice Vaishnavas here? Does anybody have any comments or questions or anything? Oh, Arjun Prabhu? I hope you're not angry with me.
Why?
But I didn't have Tilak on. We love you.
No, I have one question. You say we should respect everybody, and but special respect we should give to the Vaishnavas. Is there some reason for which Vaishnava should not be respected by us?
That they should not be disrespected. We respect Vaishnavas because of the process that they're adopting. Krishneti yasya giri tvam manasadriyeta. Anyone who chants Krishna's name, we give respect to them. Dikshasti chet pranati bishcha bhajantamisham. And anyone who has diksha, we don't mind who it's from, but they have diksha in Mahaprabhu's line, and they're worshipping the Lord, the deity, they're a pujari, we offer our pranams, we offer obeisances to that person. But, nindadi shunam hidam ipsita samgalabhya, that person who's very expert in bhajan, in nindadi shunya, their heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. That's the association I want to have. So indirectly, Rupa Goswami, by saying nindadi shunya hidam, whose heart is free from envy, he's indicating also another kind of person, another kind of Vaishnava. He's also a Vaishnava who may be dikshasti chet, he may be initiated bhajanta nisham in worshipping the Lord, but there's envy in his heart. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, Ishvare tadadineshu valiseshu visatshucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakaroti samadhyama. This is the behavior of a madhyam adhikari. He offers prema to Ishvara, the Lord, Ishvare adineshu, to those persons who are worshipping the Lord, the devotees, maitri. We become their friend. And it means someone who's really worshipping the Lord. And we don't care what sect, what religion they belong to, what family they belong to. If someone's really worshipping the Lord, we're so happy, and this is my friend. Prema Maitri. And those persons who are Baliseshu, who are innocent, then Kripa, we give them some mercy. And Dvisatsu, who are envious, we practice Upeksha, or neglect, even if they come in the dress of Vaishnavas. What does that neglect mean? Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes this verse in Jiva Dharma, and he gives a very brilliant explanation, because it can be a little confusing. Some of our God brothers, they were telling me years ago, one person from Australia, that you shouldn't see their face. They're offenders to Gurudev. And I said, Ali Baba, what am I supposed to do? My service is to print books and magazines and take them to ISKCON Mayapur and sell them. So if I'm standing at the book table and someone comes up who offended my guru, am I supposed to close my eyes? Am I supposed to run away screaming? I won't see their faces. How will I do my service? It's crazy. So Bhaktivinoda says upeksha doesn't mean you do like that. He says that the householder may have to work with people who are envious. And even then he has to be nice to them and say, oh, how are you doing today? How's the wife? How was your vacation? Hope you're doing really well. You have to be loving to them. But upeksha means neglect. You neglect their envy. Bhaktivinoda says, if you see such an envious person, even a Vaishnava, they have no food to eat. You may feed them. They have no place to stay. You may invite them in your home and give them a place to stay. He says, upeksha means something more. Upeksha means you don't discuss Krishna Katha with them. Because they don't want to hear. You just talk to them, how's the management going? And how were the meetings today? Oh, really good. We need more meetings. Yes, yes. Eating, sleeping, meeting, and defending. All glories to your meetings. Don't speak to them about Krishna Katha. If you speak Krishna Katha to them, hey, you trying to preach to me? Who do you think you are? I know everything. I'm the manager here. They'll do like that. We have to neglect them. And upeksha, neglect, means you're not envious. Doesn't mean that you hate them. Doesn't mean that you want to kill them or drive them out. It means you neglect them. This is Mahaprabhu's line. He taught us with Ramachandra Puri and Jagannath Puri. When Ramachandra Puri came there, he was criticizing Mahaprabhu and criticizing the devotees. He was, by some social understanding, he was senior to Mahaprabhu because he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who was the grand guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu would give respect to him, but many times he would just ignore him, just neglect him. When Mahaprabhu saw Brahmananda Bharati in a deer skin, he said, where's Brahmananda Bharati? Jagannatha said, Mahaprabhu, he's right in front of you, he's right there. That's not Brahmananda Bharati. My Brahmananda Bharati wouldn't wear a deer skin. He neglected him. This is the art of Vaishnavism. If you see very advanced sadhus, they behave in this way. I don't see them going for jihad and all these quarrels and things like that. We should neglect these persons. It means we should neglect the quality. We should neglect envy in ourselves if we see it. There's a little voice, Titikshu's coming. He knows more shlokas than I do. Guru Maharaj loves him more than he does me. And we become envious. If we see that nasty, evil voice rising up in our heart, we have to neglect it. Push it away. I won't hear that thing. And I want to be kind to everyone and loving to everyone. Is that okay? Krishna Kumar?
But if we neglect envious persons like us, how do they get purified from their envy if they don't discuss Krishna Katha with them?
Well, if you try to discuss Krishna Katha with them, and they're just going to become angry and punch you in the nose, how are you going to discuss Krishna Katha? You can't do it. Ashradhani vimukhi prashinvati yashchopadesha shiva nama paradha. The Padma Purana says it's an aparad to speak to a faithless person. They don't have faith in you.
So if someone only has faith in management,
Or so many other things,
or
psychology or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. Then how can they come to the point of having faith in Krishna?
I don't know if she's asking this for herself or asking for in general, but we often address this point. There's a story we tell. Srila Prabhupada in South Africa. The Prabhupada was once invited by the devotees to come to South Africa. They had a problem. They had rented a house from a lady. And when they rented the house, they wore some Western clothes and things. And they rented. She was living right next door. She owned two houses. She was living next door to one. And they didn't tell her that they were Hare Krishnas. So she found out the next morning at 4:30 in the morning. They were Hare Krishnas. And she was fried. She was very, very angry. But they had a lease, a legal document. There was nothing she could do. So she was very angry. And every time she'd see the devotees, and she'd start saying very bad things about them. So then Srila Prabhupada came. And the devotees are a little worried what's going to happen if Prabhupada sees her and she starts saying something bad to Srila Prabhupada. So one morning, Prabhupada said, so I want to go for a walk. And the devotees looked out the window, and the lady was there tending her garden. Prabhupada, maybe we could go later on today. No, I want to go now. Yes, Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada came out of the house, and the devotees had told him about that woman. And he walked straight over to her. She's kind of looking. And Prabhupada said, oh, you have a very good garden. Very nice. You've been working on this for some time. Yes, nice garden. I planted roses here, and tulips over here, and this thing and this thing. Every day while he was there, Srila Prabhupada started going up to her and speaking to her. And he would talk to her about the weather. Very hot day today, isn't it? Very difficult. And how many children do you have? And do you still have all your teeth? I have all my teeth. And he would speak to her about completely mundane things. Nothing Krishna conscious, because she was envious. And that woman, as far as I know, she never liked the devotees, and she never became a devotee. And if people would ask her about this Hare Krishna, she'd say, oh, those people are very nonsense. And then she'd say, but their leader, he's a very nice man. He's a saint. Huh? So there was some benefit for her. And Srila Prabhupada preached to her in that way. He preached to her by not preaching to her, because she didn't have faith. He was a human being. We should understand what it means to preach. We have a problem, because we all mostly come from a Judeo-Christian background, and we think that preaching means going around with a stick and telling everybody you're going to go to hell unless you do this thing. That's not preaching. That's not Mahaprabhu's line. Mahaprabhu's line is love and affection for people, and not trying to change them, not insisting, not even preaching to them. But if they develop some faith in us, and they come to us and ask us, tell me, what does it mean? My mother, she came to India, not because she wanted to go to Mayapur, or we took her there, but because she wanted to be with her son. And I didn't preach to her anything. We did a program in South India while we were there in someone's home. And I said, Mom, if you want to come to the program, you can come. Yes. So she was sitting there, and the people in South India, they're very pious and humble. So he finished the talk, and someone stood up and announced, Madhav Nanda's mother's here. Mm-hmm. They made a queue. They were all standing, they were all going and touching her mother's feet. She didn't know what to do. So and later on, she was a very good person, actually. She said, did I do okay? I said, Mom, you were great. You did just fine. So she was, and I refused to preach in it. One day, after being in India a few weeks, she came and said, I'd like to start chanting japa, Hare Krishna, like you do. Can you do that? And I was very detached. I said, okay, if you want to. And I wouldn't preach to her still, because I saw she wasn't really, it wasn't so deep. It was just she wanted to have a novel experience or something. And I wouldn't preach to her. But we just tried to show her by some example. And she went to Mayapur, and she loved Mayapur. She went back to America, and she phoned me and said, you know, when I leave my body, when I die, I want to die in Mayapur. And then I got a phone call a few weeks later. Next thing I got from America was from my sister-in-law. She said, I have some bad news. And your mother died. And that morning, they found the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's Gita, was on the toilet. She was reading the Bhagavad Gita that morning. And she was in her garden, feeding the birds and things. And she had this kind of funny garden with Buddha and Shiva was there. And Krishna was there. And different saints. St. Francis, and she would feed the birds and the animals. She's a very pious lady. And she died of a heart attack there in that place. So we should learn to preach like that. Not that we just try to insist on someone or force them. It doesn't work, especially with your mother. Is that okay, Clint? You have something more? You're not satisfied? Okay.
Regarding different religions, sometimes there's very highly respected persons, like for example the Dalai Lama. He's very much respected across the world, but some devotees would say like, oh, but he's a meat eater, so like.
Really, I thought he's a vegetarian.
Sorry?
Anyway, but really,
I don't know. I saw something like on Facebook. And yeah, so I was just wondering, like,
you were saying about Muslims and stuff, and I've heard such comments also about Muslims. Oh, but they're meat eaters. So, I mean, how do we regard that? How do we
well, first of all, is there such a thing as a Muslim soul?
Well,
or a Christian soul, or an ISKCON soul, or a Gaudiya Math soul? Where is that in Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
There's no such thing. Uh-huh. Everyone is a spirit soul, and we treat everyone, elephants and cow and deer, even Americans, we respect them as being spirit souls. What is this, someone is a Muslim? They're not a Muslim. They have that religion. That's some external upadhi that they have. So we don't, the Muslim faith, we're detached from that. I would suggest we neither see good nor bad in it. It has some good qualities. We may appreciate some good things in it. And it has some things we may not appreciate so much. But rather than seeing someone as a Muslim, we should see someone as a spirit soul who has some good qualities. And as some, when we were in Uzbekistan, there are many, especially these Sufis, who are vegetarian, and they believe in mantra meditation. And they're very, very good people. And we, whatever good quality we've seen, and we should appreciate that good quality.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a meat eater, but maybe they're a very honest person, and they have maybe they're more honest than some vegetarian devotees that I know. They're very they have the strong principle of honesty. We should appreciate and glorify that their honesty then, or whatever good quality they have. The principle is that we should see good in everyone, and see bad in ourselves. A Vaishnava, Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyamika, chapter 8, in one purport, he says the qualification of a Vaishnava is he's adosha darshi. He doesn't see faults in others. That's our qualification. So we should see some good in everyone. It's such a wonderful engagement. We should always be looking for something good. And then people become so happy. I'll give you one little example. We had once, we went to some hotel and we were traveling. And there was some lady there at the desk, you know, to greet people and take their money and whatever. And she was not a devotee. And I'm sure she wasn't even a vegetarian. And there was some man there who was very angry. And he was shouting at her, my room, this and this, and you aren't. And he was just a horrible person. Mm-hmm. And that poor woman, she said, well, yes, sir. No, sir. Well, we're trying, sir. We're doing the best we can, sir. And she looked like she was going to cry. The man was being so horrible. And finally, he stormed off, very angry. And then I was dressed in a dhoti and kurta. And I came up there, and she's kind of looking at me. And then I told her, I said, you know, I just want to tell you, you were so good with that man. I really appreciated how tolerant you were. And you were so expert with him. That was really good. And when I said, although I have a dhoti and kirtan, I'm some weird sect member, something, right? When I said it, she said, oh, thank you. And she, I can tell you, I'm sure she must, you know, maybe she doesn't like the Hare Krishnas, but she would tell people, I met a really nice person today. He was a Hare Krishna. We should love people and see some good in everyone. And if that's our engagement, if our mind is always trying to find something good, then we're so happy because we see good in everyone. But if we're some kind of self-appointed reformer who just sees bad in everyone, then we'll be very depressed. Mm. We've seen people like that. Is that okay? Okay. Anything else? Mr. Tiksha, do you want to add anything? Thank you for that set of Bhagavatam volumes you gave us. I'm still protecting it. Burnpur Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhagavata Bhakta Binda ki, Go Premanandi, Ancha Kapada Rubish Chak, Bhagavata 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 Bhagavata
Yeah, you have to go on the